Hello and welcome. I'm Sofiko and this is Creative Minds Speaking, a podcast where I have conversations with creative industry professionals, bringing into the spotlight those incredible people who are behind the scenes of art and entertainment is the main goal of this podcast. On today's episode, I'm going to chat with Ray Ahmed. Currently, he is a business development lead at Pop Arabia based in Dubai. I'm super excited to have Ray because I feel like he will share an interesting knowledge about the Arabic music industry, the first guest like this. So, hi, Ray. Thank you so much for coming to the show.
Pleasure to be on it.
Let's get started. Could you please tell us about your background?
Well, so I'm originally from India, born and raised there. I'm from Assam in Northeast India, and I started my musical career as a rock and metal guitar player for different bands. I've played in different bands over the years, and did a little bit of touring with them around that region and India in general. And so that's how I began. Eventually, you know, story of every brown kid, I ended up studying engineering. And while I was doing that, I was studying mechanical engineering. That was my bachelor's. And while I was doing that, I could not play with bands anymore because of schedule issues. So I ended up, somehow I ended up being involved in doing music for films and documentaries and doing sound design. I did a lot of music for live theater, did a lot of music for short films and documentaries. And so while doing that, you know, I sort of got involved in other aspects of the industry as well. And while I was a student, I did a lot of, I was always involved in doing events here and there, but I ended up starting a festival while I was at uni, and I ran that festival for 4 years. It was a techno-cultural fest, but music was a big part of it. We used to organize a rock competition with one of the bigger Indian rock bands headlining it. So that was my first stint into music business. Over the years after that, you know, I started consulting for event companies and live event companies in that region of India, in Northeast. And by the time I graduated from engineering from university, I ended up founding and establishing a company with a couple of friends. I am still part owner of it. We're still running it. It's a film company that we established. It's called Red Cardinal Motion Pictures, based out of Assam. That was sort of the first professional, I would say, foray into the entertainment industry. And so having done that, eventually in around 2016, 2017, I ended up going to Italy to do a master's in engineering. And while I was doing that, I saw the European music industry, the European entertainment industry, and you know, music has always been my calling, and it felt like that was probably the right time and the right space for me to hop over and jump ship, right? Right before I went to Italy, I was part of a thing that Berklee College of Music used to do back in the day called Berklee Global Clinics. And so these global clinics are, they used to bring out faculty from their Boston campus to India, to different cities, and they would do 4 or 5 day long workshops, right? So I was part of one of those events where I participated, and I got to know a few people from Berklee, namely Clint Valadres and Annette Phillip. Both of them have had a great impact on my, you know, great impact in starting my career. Yeah, when I was in Italy, I was, you know, I saw the European music industry, the European entertainment industry, and I thought it was time to listen to my calling. And I ended up, one night in a bout of frustration, I ended up reaching out to Annette and Clint, both of them. And, you know, I wanted to get into music full time. I wanted a change in my career. And I thought, you know, even if I have to do another bachelor's, provided I get a scholarship, I would do it. I would move to Boston and do a bachelor's if needed. So I reached out to them and they wrote back to me saying, you know, you've got experience. They said to me, you've got experience, you've got a degree. Why don't you apply to one of our master's programs in our campus in Spain? It'll be easier for you to move to Spain from Italy because it's the same visa. And so till then, I had no idea that Berkeley had a campus in Spain. So I applied. It was, of course, you know, it's not easy to get there, but I applied, got in, and ended up doing a master's in global entertainment music business. So that's how I got into that. That's sort of the first step that I took to get into the music industry.
That's amazing how you got there through so many obstacles, you know. And it's beautiful that you never gave up and you listened to your calling. And then eventually, did you start working at Pop Arabia right after Berkeley, or you had some other positions in between?
Right after graduation from Berkeley, I went back home to India, to Assam. I went back to do a few of, you know, the consulting stuff that I was doing for festivals over there, and was booking a few artists, managing some of them. So I was doing that, but I got connected to Spec, who is the founder and CEO of Pop Arabia, through a mutual friend, Srishti, who is a Berkeley alum, and she is quite well known in the Indian music industry. Currently, she's the senior manager of A&R at Orchard in India. And so she connected me to Spec because he was looking for someone for this position, and she thought I'd be a good fit. We ended up having a Skype call, which I did not know was an interview. A few days later, Spec wrote back to me saying, "You're hired, when can you join?" It took about six months to get all the visa process and all of that done. But yeah, at the end of that process, I was here in Dubai. Although our office is based in Abu Dhabi, I live here in Dubai. And yeah, that's how I got into to lead biz dev for Pop Arabia.
Lovely. Could you please share what are your current responsibilities in your role? Like, what are you mostly doing day to day? What do you like about the position the most? But most importantly, tell us more about the music industry there.
Well, although my designation is business development lead, I'm involved in all the verticals within Pop Arabia. I've been involved in developing different sides of business. I look after music supervision, where we have licensed music to a lot of shows on Netflix and others. Some of the well-known shows that I've worked on as a music supervisor through Pop Arabia have been things like Al Rawabi School for Girls, where, you know, it got a lot of love from the international industry. You know, they wrote about the music in the series in Forbes and all of that. And, you know, we've gone on to do music supervision for Dubai Bling, which is one of the, you know, it's one of the most hit series that has come out on Netflix, one of the most hit Middle Eastern series. It's a reality show. And with Finding Ola. So there's a bunch of others there, right? So that's one side of the business that I look after, which we are scaling up pretty fast. Currently, we are in the middle of multiple productions doing music supervision. I've also been very involved in developing the label vertical of Pop Arabia, because Pop Arabia predominantly, you know, Pop Arabia was started in 2011 But since then, it was predominantly a music publisher. We are still predominantly a music publisher and the largest music publisher in Middle East and North Africa. So for a long part of Pop Arabia's history, our business was centered around sub-publishing global catalogs in MENA. And so that's what we were doing for a long time. You know, at one point we represented all the majors, and you know, now we still have, you know, a laundry list of the biggest independent music publishers. We have BMG, which is a major, so we've got a really healthy market share of publishing in Middle East and North Africa, right? But in 2019, that was around the time when I came on board, we started a label vertical to the business, and we started investing in local Arab talent, signing cool indie acts, also some big ones. Some notable signings we've done is Bedouin Burger, which is a very cool electropop Syrian Lebanese duo made up of Zaid Hamdan and Lin Adib, amazing artists, both of them. And then we have Haliwa, who is one of the biggest rappers and pioneers of Moroccan hip hop. We've signed Mohammed Ramadan to a publishing deal, who is the biggest superstar in the Middle East from Egypt. We've done joint ventures with 100 Copies, which is an Egyptian Mahraganat label. Mahraganat is a very niche, it's very popular, but a niche Egyptian hip-hop inspired genre. And we also recently signed a JV with Mashrex, which is a Saudi hip-hop label. You know, we are investing in cool Arab talent that will become the sound of the next generation, or, you know, sound of the future as we move ahead in the story, right? That was a part of what I've done. Another thing that Pop Arabia has been very involved with since 2021 is catalog acquisitions. So we've acquired a lot of catalogs in the region, both master and publishing rights. And, you know, by now, we haven't gone public with a few of the acquisitions, but by now, our owned Arabic repertoire sits around 14,000 plus songs. So we are one of the biggest, if not the biggest, Arabic rights owner in the world. So that's a lot of what we've been doing at Pop Arabia. And I've been involved in all these different aspects of Pop Arabia. Another thing that we've done was in 2020, we established a subsidiary of Pop Arabia called ESMA, which means listen in Arabic. And ESMA is the first and only SISAC member entity in the Gulf. So it's a rights management entity. And, you know, in an environment where there is no CMO or PRO exists, we are sort of the de facto CMO. Right off the gate, we have licensed Dubai Expo, which was a big global 6-month long event. And, you know, we've licensed everything, all the music that was playing there, public performance, mechanical rights, neighboring rights. And we've licensed, you know, music was used in various ways at Dubai Expo. It was used in, you know, there were artists performing live with band on track. We had music playing in public areas. There were pavilions from various countries that were playing their own music. They had performances from artists from their own countries. And then we've had, you know, F&B sections where music was being played in the background. And then Expo put up music and recorded concerts onto online platforms, social media platforms, onto YouTube and their websites. So all of that, it's a complicated license to do, But we did it, and that was the first thing we did when we formed ESMA, right? And it was a solution, it was a much needed solution for the industry, because historically those rights have never been licensed in this region.
What you're saying sounds huge. Like, that's really, really a lot.
It is. We're trying to move mountains here. Somebody's got to do it, you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
What's your perception of the Arabic music industry in general, business-wise and also culture-wise? You mentioned that PROs haven't existed there before. Now you're... It sounds like it's a developing market. What do you have to say about the music scene there in general?
Well, it's a robust music scene. I mean, it is an emerging market, of course. You know, various reasons behind it, history, technology, whatever you call it. But, you know, Middle East is one of the fastest growing emerging markets at the moment. You know, for a long time, it was a physical business. It was only around 2018, 2019, when DSPs like Spotify and Apple Music started entering the market. And that's suddenly opened up the industry, and, you know, more and more artists came to the forefront. You know, people were, there were more avenues to listen to music. But even prior to that, YouTube has been a huge, you know, it's been a huge platform, and it still is. You know, it's been growing. There are huge artists in the region, like any other region. It's just that from a Western perspective, this region wasn't discovered yet, right? But that's also, you know, when we talk about emerging markets, that's also a very Western-centric point of view. You know, people here have always had their superstars. They have, you know, legends like Amar Diab, who is, you know, one of the legends of Arabic pop. Nancy Ajram, you know, she's considered as the queen of Arabic pop. There have been legacy artists like Umm Kulthum and Fairuz. Fairuz is a national, she's from Lebanon, and she's considered as a national treasure. You know, she's one of the, probably one of the very few artists on the planet that has her picture on national stamps, right? So yes, you know, this is a big market. It's a population of 400 something million people, and yeah, they have always had their superstars. They've always had a robust industry. They have you know, Egypt and Lebanon, and the Levant region traditionally, Syria, you know, has been, those were the regions that have always produced art, amazing art in this region. They have had a long history of a film industry, especially Egypt has had a long history of a film industry. And so all of that has existed always from an artist's perspective and, you know, from the perspective of creating art and generating content. Yes, it's been a big market forever, in fact. Mm-hmm. Yes, there have been infrastructural issues, you know, certain things probably, again, one thing you have to look at is MENA is a big region, right? It consists of the Gulf, which is UAE, Saudi, Bahrain, Qatar, you know, six countries in the GCC. It consists of the Levant region, which is Iraq and Syria and Lebanon. It consists of NAF, which is North Africa, that ranges all the way from Egypt to Morocco in the west. So it's a huge region with many countries, and each of these countries have had different histories, and they have developed their creative industries have developed through different stages, right? Of course, there has been effects, geopolitical effects, over various eras. But, you know, it's a quite interesting industry. Yes, certain things around rights management probably took time to develop, right? But it's also due to the fact that copyright law was introduced a lot later in these countries. You know, some of these countries do not have the history of copyright, such as the West or UK, where, you know, you have a history of 150 years of copyright. That does not exist here. But having said that, with the advent of digital era, things are moving a lot faster. And so, you know, ESMA is an example of that, you know, new type of entities that could represent and license and collect rights, all kinds of rights, you know. Of course, in the West, you have performing rights, neighboring rights, and mechanical rights all sitting separately within various different entities. But maybe for new and emerging markets, probably having a one-stop solution is a better way to go, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how I look at it. That's our view of the market. And, you know, emerging markets is the future. If you look at it from a global perspective, you know, if you just look at Spotify streams or streams on any DSPs, right? They have maxed out in the West, but there's still rest of the world left. Africa is still unexplored. Middle East, you know, the DSP penetration in Middle East is still probably around 30-40%, you know, depending on countries and economic status of different people, right? Most of Asia is still, DSPs haven't been able to penetrate most of Asia yet. You know, YouTube is still the biggest platform in these regions. So there's a lot to be developed, and there's potential for development in emerging markets. And, you know, like I said, it's rest of the world outside of North America and the UK.
That's true. Thank you so much for sharing. It's super interesting. I'm curious, you mentioned a lot of countries. I'm curious if all these countries are kind of, is there a lot of collaboration between the countries in the region, or like, because from what I know, even there are a lot of like dialects in Arabic language. Would you say that it's somehow maybe gets on the way, or in general, there are a lot of collaboration and support from countries?
There is a lot of collaboration and support, you know. Of course, there are various dialects of Arabic, but they're not unintelligible from each other. And so people can fairly understand. Of course, like I said before, you know, certain countries have a longer history of creating content, like Egypt and Lebanon, you know, Iraq to a certain extent as well, in the past. So those languages are widely popular, and, you know, it's the same language, they're just different dialects. So people tend to understand each other. And over the years, there have been a lot of collaborations, you know, like Egyptian cinema has been popular throughout the region. Egyptian cinema has penetrated throughout the region across the Middle East. Egyptian cinema is very popular even in India. And likewise, Indian cinema is popular in this region. Indian cinema has penetrated into Middle East and North Africa and into Egypt, and so they borrow influences from each other every now and then. So that collaboration exists throughout the MENA region, you know. There, you know, like Lebanese artists, Lebanese actors have performed in Egyptian cinema. They have collaborated with Egyptian artists in albums and various types of works. Same goes for others, you know. Moroccan artists have done collaborations with Algerian artists for a long time. And even before people talked about this area as an emerging market, there have been international collaborations as well. If you listen to Desert Rose by Sting, that's a collaboration with Cheb Mami, who is an Algerian, who's an Algerian legend, in fact. You know, he's the legend of Algerian Rai pop music.
Super interesting. Thank you. You have some experience working in India and now in Arabic region. Would you say that industries, how to say it, like developing in a similar way or in very different? Because like if we talk about India, there is a whole other thing that is called, even has its own term, Bollywood. I know there is so much more than just Bollywood, but it's just the biggest thing, yeah. The term when you think about Indian music industry. What's your opinion on this? And I'm curious, are you interested in going back to Indian music industry and developing it there at some point, or you're very invested in the Arabic region now and you're mostly seeing yourself there now?
Well, the way I work is I just like to do cool things with cool people. You know, I'm interested in India, of course. I mean, that's my homeland. And India itself is a very interesting market, you know. It's a lot like the Middle Eastern market in certain ways, but there are also differences, you know. Of course, Bollywood is the big beast that you can't defeat in India. But it's changing with time, you know. There are so many regions. India is like a microcosm of the world, right? And every region of India is so diverse. You know, you cross a state border and the language changes, the cuisine changes, the food changes, the culture changes. You can't even understand each other's languages. So India is like, you know, you take Europe and put it inside a country, that's India, right?
Yeah.
Or take the whole world and put it inside one country, that's India. So one way, I've always said that one way to look at India, this is something I'm very vocal about and I've advocated in the music industry, is the fact that we have to look at India not as a homogenous, singular, emerging market, but rather look at different regions as individual markets. You know, it's only then we will see the full potential of what the Indian music industry has to offer to the world, right? Having said that, some regions have done really well, you know. Yes, Bollywood is something that's worldwide popular, known worldwide, but the South Indian music and the South Indian industry for both music and cinema, you know, the Tamil industry, the Telugu industry, the Malayalam industry, they have done really well over the years. They have produced amazing blockbusters. One of them even won an Oscar this year. So that's not a Hindi language mainstream Bollywood movie that won an Oscar. So those regions are emerging as well. Punjab has done really well. Hip-hop from Punjab is widely popular across India, across Indian diasporas living in UK and US and Canada. And, you know, they have massive artists who garner views and streams in the hundreds of millions. Right, they release a song and it gets 15 million streams overnight.
Wow!
So that's the range that they're working with, because again, India has a huge population, you know, and it's got a big diaspora that lives outside the country.
Mm-hmm.
So India is of course a very, very interesting market. You know, like all emerging markets, yes, it's got its own issues that will need to be solved with time to be at par with the global industry. But a lot of it is getting better. You know, there are newer executives in the music industry, in the entertainment industry, new artists in India know about their rights. They're very vocal about protecting their rights. They have a better understanding of the business than artists previously did. So that awareness has been a bastion of change for the industry at large. And so, you know, I think India is another interesting market. Of course, I still have some stuff that I do in India. I'd still, you know, love to do more, and we'll see, you know. Like I said, once I find cool people, I'll do some stuff.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Thank you so much for sharing this with us. What would you say are your life highlights? It can be something personal or professional, as you prefer, or both.
Well, there have been a few. You know, changing careers while you're in your mid-20s, that was something pivotal for me as I jumped ship from engineering into the music industry. You know, building my own festival while I was still at uni was another thing. Another highlight would be the fact that I created a film company just right after graduating, right after completing my undergrad, which we're still running. You know, we have started doing the first international film festival in Assam, in Upper Assam, actually. There has never been an international film festival in that region. So that's something we did. We're doing it again in 2024, January, the second edition of it. It's called Northeast International Documentary and Film Fest, NIDFF. More moments would be, of course, the time I spent at Berkeley. I met amazing peers and friends and, you know, forged some connections for life. And that was a great year. You know, it was hectic. It demanded a lot, or maybe I pushed myself a lot while I was there. But again, you know, you have to understand that I came from a region where there's nothing. You know, I come from a region where we still today, even we do not have regular venues to play live. So when I was growing up, we would just, you know, we would type out tickets on Word file, print them out, sell them to our friends, ask them to come to, you know, quote unquote concert, which is probably at somebody, you know, at a friend's garage or somewhere, right? So coming from there to Berkeley was a huge, huge moment for me. And so when I was there, I, you know, it was once in a lifetime for me, you know, mm-hmm. It was now or never for me. Mm-hmm. And so I decided that mid-flight when I was flying into Valencia that, you know, this is once in a lifetime and I'm going to suck the marrow out the bone and I'll do anything and everything that I could. So I played on people's records. Of course, I did GMB. That was an amazing experience. Met amazing industry people who came as visiting faculty. Did a lot of work, engineering sessions, producing artists. That was great. And I think the experience at Berkeley sort of catapulted me a lot in terms of experience. Otherwise, that probably, you know, I probably wouldn't have gained that experience in 10 years, I guess. And then, you know, coming to UAE to lead BizDev for Pop Arabia, and, you know, it's emerging. It's very interesting to work in an emerging market. Of course, there are massive challenges, but that's the fun of working mm-hmm. in emerging markets. So I think those are some of really, you know, highlights, I would say. And, you know, we're building, sort of building an industry from scratch in a way, you know. So those are the highlights, I would say.
That's so interesting. Thank you so much. And I must say that you definitely reached your goal, because look at you now. You're working in Pulp Arabia, doing so many things. So it's wonderful that the Berkeley program helped you this way.
Yeah, indeed.
What would you say is your personal definition of success?
Well, you know, success is so subjective. But one of my goals, it's a long way to reach that, of course. You know, I consider that I'm just taking my baby steps into the industry, into the entertainment industry. One goal that I have, which probably is sort of my lifelong goal, is to be a bridge between the creative industry in Northeast India and the world. You know, it's a colossal task. I don't know if I'll be able to achieve it, but you know, taking steps towards that is something that drives most of my personal decisions and professional decisions within the industry. And you know, I don't know if I'll achieve it, but that is, you know, I'm trying to reach for the stars. But if I reach the moon, great, I'll consider that a success.
I love this mentality. It's time, unfortunately, to wrap up our podcast. And at the end of the conversation, I ask the same four questions every guest. Some of them are silly. But the first one is, do you have any book, movie, and song recommendations to our listeners? You mentioned a lot of artists already, but maybe there is something specific you'd like to highlight.
Well, I would say, if you want to listen to the future sound of Arabic pop, go listen to Bedouin Berger. Movies, I haven't watched a lot of movies lately. I've been watching some horror series, but I would recommend people who are interested in Gothic literature and horror adjacent stuff, go watch The Fall of the House of Usher on Netflix. It's a great show directed by Mike Flanagan, who I consider to be, you know, someone who has reinvented the genre of horror and noir. And book, I'm reading this really interesting book. It's called Sacred Mushroom and the Cross. It's written by a scientist. It delves into a very weird concept, but it delves into a concept where the author theorizes that maybe all these rituals and, you know, sort of religious type of things that people have been doing for centuries are probably based on ancient people getting high on psychedelics, right? So that's a great, interesting read, Sacred Mushroom and the Cross. Those would be my recommendations.
Thank you. Who would you say is your celebrity crush?
Never had a celebrity crush, really. But I've had guitar heroes like Slash and Steve Vai and Joe Satriani. Lately, I've been listening to a lot of Tosin Abbasi, who leads the band Animals as Leaders. Pliny is another amazing guitarist that I love out of Australia. I would recommend, anyone who's interested in odd time signatures and complicated music, go listen to Tigran Hamasyan, who is a jazz prodigy, Armenian jazz prodigy, who does this amazing blend of Armenian folk, jazz, and progressive metal.
Thank you. What is the most useless talent of yours?
I don't know. Maybe I can move my ears like a bunny. That's probably
That's pretty
it.
Useless.
That's a useless talent I have.
And the last question that I love to wrap up every episode with is, who would you say inspires you the most?
There's so many different things that have inspired me. You know, I still do music, I still compose. And so, you know, there are various people that I've been inspired by throughout the years, you know, all the way from, punk rock bands like The Descendants to Bob Dylan, to people like Trent Reznor. I really admire his work. You know, he was the front man of Nine Inch Nails, went on to compose music for films and stuff. He was head of innovation at Apple Music at one point. He's got all the other things that he does. So people like him, Maynard James Keenan, who is the front man of Tool and has all these other side projects and runs a vineyard and does all these other stuff. So yeah, I mean, I'm sort of inspired by people like that, and Speck, who's been quite a mentor to me, who's been a great mentor to me. He's my boss as well, but you know, he's a very, very inspiring figure, you know, an artist, producer, businessman, you know, he's done it all.
It's always great when your mentor or your colleague inspires you. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for coming to the podcast. I'm super happy to have you obviously there is so much more to go into details in both Indian music industry and Arabic music industry, but thank you so much for your input, for sharing your experience, your thoughts with us. Super interesting. So thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. Absolute pleasure.